Wow. This is like heaven. Well, we go to church at Conneautville. I'm retired and kinda, but I work with the recovery group that we have at the church. I work with a mental health support group, and those are all dear ministries to me. And so, a little bit about me. I didn't get here from Conneautville. I was born in West Virginia. I lived in Ohio. I moved to Kentucky, and then I moved up to Penline Church and was there for 7 years. And I've been a dean at camp and all the other stuff. So when I talked to John, I says, well, you know, some of the people may remember me. He said, nah. I got to say something here. You people are blessed beyond measure. That worship service is exquisite. I'm jealous. I mean, we have, at Conneautville, we have a praise band, but it's acoustic guitar, bass guitar, lead guitar, and drums. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, until I heard this. I'm just blown away, okay? I am just really blown away from that worship experience. And you are blessed. I don't understand why this place isn't packed out. Because that is a great worship experience. Maybe it's not packed out because they heard I was coming. I don't know. But, you know, it was interesting because how things worked out. But I got to be in Sunday school class. I guess that's what you call it. I don't know if you call it by any other name. At Conneautville, they decided on ABF. Adult Bible Fellowship. I don't really care what you call it. It's still Sunday school to me. I'm old. And this is such a gift. Because yesterday I celebrated 45 years of marriage to my wife down here. And this is just icing on the cake. I really feel that way. But this has been a trying year for me. In May, my leg fell off. I had a knee replacement, and months before, I got hit with lightning. Well, unbeknownst to the doctors or me, that disintegrates all the glue that held my other knee in. So he was just freaked out. He says, I've never experienced what I did with you. I reached in there and I pulled out your old knee and I didn't have to fight. He said, I've never, ever. He said, but your bones are perfect. They're great. So they stuck a new one in. And it's functioning very well, thank you. In May, I had that done. Well, my mom passed away in December 14th. And my brother and I cared for her. And I made a promise to my parents. And I made a promise that I would do everything I could that they would die in their home. My father died a few years ago. He was 91. My mom died in December at 92. And my brother and I had the privilege of taking care of both of them until the day they died. And my mom was especially dear to me. She died in her own home, in her own bed, with her son sitting beside her. And she was at peace. And so it's been busy, but while I was taking care of my mom, I had a stroke. Now, I didn't know what it was, but all my left side went numb. Well, it came back. I felt fine. I thought everything was okay. And so I called my doctor when I was leaving her house, and she said, go to the ER now. So I get there, and I said, yep, you've had a stroke. And so then they put me in a room. I felt fine and got up the next morning, went to the bathroom, and I couldn't open the door to get out. And so my left side went at my mom's house, and my right side went at the hospital. Interesting, huh? So I was giving them a blow-by-blow description. I said, well, my hand's numb. Well, now my arm's numb, my shoulder, and down my side and my leg. And this one went a little further than the first one. And pretty soon I'm going, oh, shoot, my face went numb. But it didn't stay long. And I kind of have fun no matter what's going on. And no problems. My neurologist says I have a very small speck on my brain. Now, everyone knew I had brain damage for years, so that's okay. But the reason I mentioned my mom and my promise is in the book of Exodus, in chapter 24, it says, when Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord said. They made a promise. They made a covenant. That was the beginning of the covenant with God's people and God. Now, it's interesting because it isn't long before there's a problem. And the people did everything God said and built their tabernacle or their place of worship, and it was dedicated by bowls of blood and sacrifices, okay? And in that, they put blood on the altar that they had there. And then he sprinkled the people. It was a blood covenant that they said, we will do everything you say. Now, I was a little worried that I wouldn't be able to keep my promise to my parents, but I did. But here was a promise to God. And it was sealed with blood. We just took communion. What does that cup represent? Again, I'm just totally enjoying today. The communion meditation was perfect. I just got to say that. It got me totally focused. But right after that, in chapter 32, Moses goes up on the mountain. God's going to give him the Ten Commandments. He's gone for 40 days. But they can see the cloud that's up on the mountain, but they said it looked like fire. And they said, well, for this guy Moses, we don't know what happened to him, you know. And so, just like so many of us, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. You know, you would think he would have a little more respect than that. A whole nation that were slaves was taken out of that. Not only were they taken out of it, the amazing thing is that they paid them to leave. If you read that account, it's amazing. And so Moses gives them water. He gives them food. He opens the Red Sea and they walk through. And when it looks like it's the end, they're free. Now they've seen all this. They've experienced this. They, you know, the account of Moses in the Exodus, that God went before them in the cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. Okay? Now, I don't know about you. I'm just thinking here. But do you think you would forget about that so soon? Okay. God once told Moses, go down and look at your people. Pretty much, I'm going to paraphrase. They've gone crazy. They're just down there worshiping this stupid statue because they want something that they can touch and hold on to. They want something that they're looking at every day. And I want to tell you, folks, I had to look at myself. How many times have I promised God and failed him? Because I wanted something. The hardest thing about recovery groups, and we're all in recovery, I'm going to tell you that. Understand that. Is when your mind is set only on you and what you feel and what you want. This morning the question was asked about, you know, making decisions. And a woman asked, well, you know, I have a chance for this job, you know, should I just use common sense or should I inquire of God? That's a good question, isn't it? The passage that stuck in my head is when the Bible tells us that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, some people thought I went crazy several years ago. As I quit my job, I loaded up my family. I only had one boy when we started. And I moved to Kentucky. I didn't know we had a place to live until we got there. And I went to Bible college because I wanted to be able to proclaim God's word clearly. And I made a promise to God. And he held up his end of the deal. The first year we were there, We had a guy do our taxes, and he said, "Did you people eat this year?" Well, yeah, we did. It was amazing the things that God does. Okay? Do you know what happened, though? I sinned like an Israelite. As I moved up here, church was growing, everything was going, and I thought I did it. And thought it all depended on me. I couldn't have been any more wrong, and in that, I ruined my mind. I ruined my faith. The faith that these people had in God's presence, they ignored. And so did I. Now, I know that some of you sitting here have had experience in this. How do I know? Because you're alive. You have lived. You have experienced life. Isn't it amazing that our memories are that short? But I don't want to just stay there. You know, I don't want to beat everybody up and then just quit. But we have that covenant with God broken. What a shame. But I did the same thing, didn't I? Instead of bringing him glory, and again, I'm not trying to brown nose anybody here, okay? The worship service this morning took me to a place of worship. I couldn't imagine anything better. And it also focused me on what it took for the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he went to pray at the Mount of Olives, he said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Communion meditation was perfect. Why do we do things that hurt? Do we love pain? Jesus didn't. He said, "You know, if I could miss this part of this, I would rather do that." But he didn't. And he says, "Not my will, but yours." You see, that's what we fight. Our will and God's. We think we know how to feel good. That's what we want, don't we? We want to feel good. Well, I'm going to tell you another secret that you don't know about me is I'm a motorcycle racer. I have raced motocross for 55 years. That may be why I look so bad. But anyway, people ask me, "Why do you do that? Why would you?" You know, some people from the church came and saw me and says, "Man, you come off there all dirty, sweaty, and all wore out." And I said, "Well, it's relaxing." And what it is I got to feel the way I wanted to feel. Okay? And there was a problem when I got saved in 1978, February 11th. I was a big time racer every week. And I had to make a choice. Was I going to serve God, or was I going to do what I feel I need to do to be me? The truth is, how I feel doesn't matter. It's how God sees you. It's how He feels you. How He loves you and how He feels and sees that love. It's a hard issue. It truly is. And I looked in the Old Testament and I saw that and I said, how can them people be so stupid? And then all at once I, oh man. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you realized God has given me everything? I met my wife the day I was baptized. It took her 3 years to catch me, but I met her that day. And my whole life changed. My whole life changed. And though I have forgotten, and I have got involved in what I want, God gave those people a chance to come back. You have a chance to come. I had a chance to come back. And what I wanted to do today is just to remind you of how much God loves you. In Luke, in chapter 22, verse 19, and He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I feel like I got my whole sermon from you folks today. But in the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It was the perfect, beautiful, most wonderful, darling of heaven. You heard that God gave us. You have a blood covenant in Jesus Christ. I wish I could say that if you really believe in Jesus, everything will be good. It wasn't good watching my mother die. Okay? It wasn't good to watch him cut my leg open again. And I actually didn't even mind it. The strokes. I guess they didn't hang around long enough for me to get really bothered by them. But the fact is, things happen that are unpleasant. Things will happen that are unpleasant. And it's not what I want, but forgive my bluntness. I don't really matter. What matters is the relationship and the promise that we made and we keep with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I don't know where any of you are in what's going on in your life. I know that there are hardships that await us. And if you're surprised about that, then you didn't listen to Jesus when He says, in this life you're going to have trouble. But take heed, I have overcome the world. The biggest thing with working with a recovery group is that people do things so that they can feel the way they think they want to feel. Okay? And they don't like the end result, but they want that feeling. And that's exactly what Jesus gives us, is the feeling that's right. It doesn't mean that everything's perfect. It means that I have a hope that you can't see, but you know is real. That's what Hebrews says of faith. I have evidence. I love the song, you ask me why I believe, and I've seen too much. At 71, I've seen a lot, and I've done a lot. And I've been to Moscow and preached in Moscow. I've been down to Colombia. That was a trip. I loved it. I could stay there because the guys all ride motorcycles, little ones. And the one kid rode up to the camp I was working at, and his bike quit. I ended up rebuilding the motor on a picnic table with almost a rock and a screwdriver is about all I had to work with, but I fixed it. But it isn't about me. It's about how we share that promise, that covenant, with everyone we meet. Again, I'm going to tell you, I'm astounded that you have any sitting room here. But I think God will fix that if we let His covenant drive us and not our own desires. That's the one thing that I've seen that is so hard in the church, is being able to decide what's God's will and what I want. It's the most difficult thing in the world because, you know, we've been raised, and this is a term I heard, that we have been, have a spiritual virus. And we inherited it. And that spiritual virus came from the garden. Came from a decision to, I want this. Maybe God doesn't know good enough for me. I'm not famous. I'm not rich. And I don't want to be. I'm, you know, God knows I can't handle money right. That's why He gave me my wife. And she gives me my allowance, and that's good enough. And it really is. But think about this. God gives you everything you need, and isn't that good enough? You know, if you had a stroke, you might be thinking about dying. Okay? I didn't. I thought, wow, this is weird. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about really anything. And some people at Conneautville don't like this. And if you don't like it, oh well. Because I don't really care what you think of me. You know, maybe my clothes isn't what you think they ought to be. Normally I preach in a Hawaiian shirt, but I thought, I'm going to be conservative here. And, you know, but the thing is, I don't really care what people think of me. The only thing that matters is what does God think of me? He called me His child. And gave a blood covenant. And we give a promise when we accept Jesus. And I don't know how to thank God enough. Because when I'm a bonehead, He's still my Father. He will always be my Father. And the fact is, He will always love me. He may not like what I'm doing, but He will always love me. And He loves all of you. And so, I'm going to give you a challenge. We're not going to do an invitation hymn. I'm going to challenge you. Where are you at right now? Are you confused and you see a world full of chaos? I can't change the world. I can only be what God wants me to be, and He wants me to share His good news. Okay? But I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to ask and challenge you in this. Think about your covenant. Think about the God that loved you so much that He gave His only Son. That blood on the cross was the blood of the covenant. And it was for you, and it was for all people. And so I want to challenge you to look at your thinking. I forget who read the Romans passage. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How we think is where we'll go. And if I'm only thinking about myself, that's where I go. I'm not going to be worldly popular. I know that, okay? But I was born in West Virginia. What? Yeah. I know all the West Virginia jokes from you Pennsylvania people. And then I lived in Kentucky, and I had to endure that, you know, and all that. You know, that's fine. I don't care if anybody even remembers me, which none of you did, so I guess I'm doing good. But what does God think? And if I'm doing what God says, and I made Him a promise I would follow Him, how can I be wrong? But the first moment that I get selfish and self-centered, and I have been that, I block out that covenant. Not that God doesn't love me. He does. But I block out the blessing. And maybe you have. And so I'm going to challenge you with that. We're not going to have a song, but I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to shut up. That may make some of you very happy. But I serve a God that is so merciful and full of grace. And the greatest gift He ever gave me was forgiving me. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray. Father, I can't thank You enough for letting me be here. And I thank You for just the atmosphere of worship. I praise You because I know that there are people here that are making a difference, not only in the community, but in the world. And Father, I pray that we will remain faithful to our promise. Jesus Christ, I give You my life. I pray that you will help us when we try to take it back. And I pray for this congregation. I lift them up to you because there is something special here. There's something dear here. There's something that is a magnet. And Father, I pray for the future and for that prosperity. And I thank you for all this. In Jesus' beautiful and holy name, amen. How was that? Oh, I guess you're dismissed.
Does anybody know my name?